Welcome back. This is Captain Fred, the fifth dimension, and we're talking about hemp again. We started off talking about the opioid crisis and how the medical establishment found it in their great wisdom to take opioids away from people that were dependent on opioids. And I was just looking on the RBN site right here for the hemp paste, and I'm not finding it. They're showing CBD pure instant cream and oil. Sam, are you listening to the show? I'm not really sure where that is, where the hemp paste is listed on the site. Is it listed on the website?
Yes, it is. Let me, pardon me, RB and hemp paste.
Yeah, for $5 for a sample, man, that's a wonderful value. I don't think anybody could resist doing that.
Yeah, okay. Go to shop. I just scrolled down the page a little bit. There's the 2,000 milligram jar of hemp paste. And there's up on the top, up on the menu, there's lab reports and info. Just scroll down a little bit. There's also a can of kitty and a can of doggy, too.
Yeah, CBD and hemp works just as well for animals as it does for people. My friend Jim, I guess it's been 6 or 8 years ago now, we first started working in researching CBD and how CBD manifested. There was a rumor, or it wasn't a rumor, I guess it was a urban legends, how cannabis had been used for so long that we had cannabis in our system and we developed receptors for it, and we theorized that we should be able to feed animals cannabis and be able to consume that animal and consume CBD from it. And I think he fed CBD or hemp to his ducks for quite a while, and he didn't want to eat his ducks, but he wanted to eat the eggs. But I think embryos are protected from a lot of different things, and so it never really tested out. We sent eggs to labs and tested the eggs for CBD, so there is no CBD eggs anywhere, but it could be. We could have CBD bacon if we worked hard enough at it.
Well, I would just get it from the hemp plant.
I think the hemp plant is probably the best try for $5. I don't know any place you can get that kind of a deal for a sample, unless you're at a show someplace. My friend Jim, he does samples at his shows where he sells CBD, but you know, he's got so much business right now. He only grows and sells to his customers for the most part. He was on the show, I guess, 3 weeks ago now, and we talked a lot about CBD. It's really good that you're on the show today, Paul, because I've been interested in the pace that RBN is selling, because it's, back when I was doing the show on RBN, I had worked with Statmiller to try to market CBD on the RBN site then, and things didn't work out quite that well for it. But I don't know. I think there's so much CBD on the market. People are being turned away because they are buying hemp seed oil more than they're buying hemp oil or the CBD oil. Do you find
you're
that
not
an issue?
Getting...
No, a lot of people are buying the hemp oil at the truck stops, and it has very little, if any, CBD in it at all.
Well, okay, going back to the story about the apple, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but when you eat an apple, eat the whole apple, eat the core, the seeds. The only thing you're going to throw away is the stem. You can eat the skin, you can eat the meat, the core, and the seeds. And the reason for that is that the intelligence of the apple exists everywhere in the apple. The phytonutrients in the apple teach your body, train your body how to deal with all of the elements of the apple. And CBD is exactly the same way, in the form of hemp paste for the whole plant. If you just do the oil collects in your liver doesn't understand how to get rid of it, and you will eventually wind up with a case of toxic liver. The CBD oil is not only that it's not as beneficial as it could be, it's actually harmful if used in excess. That is...
Well, that goes with everything else.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, even too much of a good thing is a bad thing. But
yeah.
the cost per dose for CBD oil, it's tremendously expensive. The reason hemp paste is cheaper is because they're able to use the entire plant. And it just so happens that the entire plant is more beneficial than all the work and expense and effort that they would have to put into breaking it down. They don't have to do that. And there's no carbon footprint. So if you're on board with the green agenda, hemp paste is for you. Go to rbn.hemppaste.com. Check it out. You can get the samples, or you can get a 2,000 milligram jar. It's absolutely the best deal. There's 80 doses in the 2,000 milligram jar. It's $99, dirt cheap. Shipping is free. It comes FedEx, I believe. And you know, you're going to love it. And if you don't love it, I'm sure you can call the company. They'll take it back.
Well, for $5, it's hard to miss on that. What so the hemp paste basically is using the hemp plant, and you're baking it in the oil, but you're not concentrating the plant at all. I mean, you don't concentrate the elements of the CBD at all.
No, because it's not necessary. All of the other phytoelements all work together in a synergistic effect. It's called an entourage effect, where you put all of the pieces together.
That reminds me of something that Jim was saying to me the other day. He was on the show, and he was saying that it doesn't make sense sometimes that there's no way to know how much is going to help. He said that you would expect big people to need larger doses, but that's not the fact. It takes just what it takes to trigger those receptors to make the body produce the feeling that you want or produce the effect that you want. So I don't know. I think you're probably right about that. The synergistic effect of the paste is probably important. It's just that I've been using the oil for so long, and I have experienced the concentrated oil before too. And the concentrated oil, that's pretty amazing stuff. I don't know. Paul, have you ever used concentrated oil?
I used it once or twice. I wasn't really impressed with it. The hemp paste impressed me. And not everybody will recognize a benefit of hemp paste when they start taking it. But with everything else, you will really notice it once you stop taking it. Then you'll notice the difference, because your body's saying, hey, wait a minute, I want more of that. How come you're not giving that to me anymore?
How many doses are in the $5 sample pack?
I don't know how many are in the $5 sample pack, but there's 80 doses in a 2,000 milligram jar. And it's basically 20 milligrams a dose. It's about a pea-sized dose. And I don't know how many are in the happy packet. I would just go for the whole thing, because you can give it to your animals, you can take it yourself, you can share it with friends. If you can't get rid of an 80-dose jar, lickety-split, there's something wrong.
And it helps the network, too.
Now, like I said, I am also a distributor of hemp paste, but this is not about me. This is about RBN, and it's about the health and happiness of the people. That's why I got on the air, and I shared how to actually make it. If you can find raw plant matter yourself, you can make it yourself, and it's less expensive, or it's more inexpensive than it is to get it from RBN. But if you can support the network at the same time and not have to mess with it, it's a win-win.
Where do you buy your raw material hemp in New York? I mean, here in Colorado, people that grow hemp are going broke. There's just no market for the hemp biomass around here. There were some people that grew hemp, and I think, there's a friend of mine that grew 17 pivots of hemp, and a pivot are those big, huge, circular irrigation pots, and he grew 17 of those. He's got several tractor trailers full of biomass. He's not been able to do anything with it. There's a lot of difference between the different kinds of hemp plant too. I know my friend Jim, 7 or 8 years ago, went to Indiana and drove around and found ditchweed, you know, the wild industrial hemp that grew mm-hmm. wild for everywhere. Well, he found these wild hemp plants and he harvested seed. I think he told me he harvested like 2 pounds of seed from this wild hemp plant. He came down here and he planted 2 acres with 2 pounds of hemp seed. And my gosh, those plants were 17 feet tall. They had colas that were 2.5 feet tall long, with full of seeds. And you could walk out in the middle of this field and pull down a big cola of seeds and just rake off 0.5 pound of seeds. And they were delicious. They were nut flavored. And, you know, very few people in the United States have had the experience of walking in an industrial hemp field. For one reason, no one grows industrial hemp. They're beginning to. The people in the valley here don't like to see hemp grown outdoors, especially if they let it go to seed, because it has a tendency to cross over with their marijuana plants. They don't like hemp breeding with their marijuana because they spend so much time trying to get marijuana strong. But the hemp that was grown in the 20s, I did some research on that, and of course that produced a lot of the hemp seed oil. But he grew 2 acres of this to experiment with it, and we processed it in different ways. We ground it, we sent it in. It was very low on CBD. The hemp
the seeds
didn't have any CBD in it. There was a little bit of CBN, but it was mostly fiber, mostly seeds that came from the industrial plants. And the industrial plants were big and strong. That was part of the problem with growing it. There was no equipment to harvest it. The hemp plant is so strong, you have to have special equipment to be able to harvest it. In the 20s, when they planted industrial hemp for rope, they planted 12 pounds per acre. 12 pounds of seeds when my friend planted 1 pound per acre. And it was, you could barely walk through it then, but the pictures I've seen of industrial hemp in the 20s, the plants grew within inches of each other, and it was one big mass of hemp. We don't have that nowadays. I noticed last year I saw a piece of equipment that was called the Big Bertha Hemp Harvester. And so it's a special piece of equipment for harvesting industrial hemp. But the hemp that's grown for CBD here in the valley, they use a, I can't remember if it's called Delta 9 hemp or something like that. But anyway, they have a hemp that grows a lot of material, but if it's left to grow too long, it grows too much THC. It's a hybrid, and it goes hot. And if it goes hot, they can't use it for CBD. And that was one of the problems they had growing the hybrid hemp here in the valley. But hemp is a really, really tough plant to get to fit the parameters of the government's control for hemp. That's the reason why a lot of people are being disappointed when they go to the truck stop and buy the bottle of hemp oil out of the shop, because it's not hemp. It's not CBD. It's just hemp seed oil. I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of misunderstanding.
Oh, here it comes.
Just say no to government. That's the problem. That's just the biggest problem we have, is abiding by their rules. I'm an anarchist, my friends, and there are no rulers. They're just the rule. That's all I got to say about that.
The beauty of hemp seed, even if it's the industrial hemp that's low in CBDs, it's still 51% protein. It's still the healthiest food.
It's tasty, too.
And it's tasty, too. And now, I have one hemp plant And I do not allow it to flower. I do not allow it to go to seed. I keep it in the veg state by keeping it under a grow light 16 hours a day. And I take leaves off of it and I chill them. I sit here working on the computer. I'm a little hungry. I'll just go grab a leaf off the plant. And that's I eat it raw. So I eat it raw and I smoke it. And there's no psychoactive effect because it's a hemp plant. It's not a cannabis plant. So.
And the fiber is pretty cleansing, too. We took a lot of hemp that we grew 7 or 8 years ago, and we took it to a smoothie bar in Alamosa, and we had the lady that was running the smoothie bar was processing the green hemp for us, and she was processing it, and she would put it in ice cube trays and freeze it, and so that she could put it into a smoothie whenever she wanted it too, and that worked really good too. The full fiber, I don't know, you know, the fiber is pretty abrasive. If you're not looking for a cleansing, you might want to be careful with how much of that hemp leaf you're going to chew and swallow. But certainly the leaf and the plant material, if it is a good hemp that grows high in CBD, then you're going to get some CBD from it. The industrial hemp just didn't have much CBD in it. That was the problem with it. Of course, if you're growing for seed and for oil and for fiber, that's exactly what you want. You don't really want to waste a lot of time with anything other than that. But
right.
I don't know.
And at this particular juncture, seeing as I'm 61 years old, I really have little or no interest in getting baked. So the plant
I'm
that I have
too,
works.
And I enjoy getting baked. I think
I do too.
Yeah, man.
I cook myself every night.
We're getting 61. New York's different than it used to be. I lived in New York when the primary source of cannabis was in the Lebanese blonde hash, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm up at the Adirondacks. I'm in a very, very, very reserved and conservative part of the state. So.
Up at the Adirondacks. Ticonderoga and Lake George. Somebody told me that Lake George has turned really commercial lately. Is it still that way? Or?
Pretty much, yeah. That in the Finger Lakes region.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. That's farm country. I'm surprised there's not somebody setting up a grow up there now that it's legal.
It's all legislative. It's the powers that be. You know, they're only going to allow it in the state if they can stringently control it and tax the snot out of it. That's the only way they're going to do it.
Well, you can't buy clone plants or anything in New York yet, can you?
Far as I know, no, you can't. There's certainly no place in this area. I live in a small town, but...
Yeah. Hey, Greg, you're in California. It's pretty easy to get clones and grow products for cannabis in California now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's out of sight mind. In fact, what's caused a lot of people out here to quit growing is the price that just fell right through the bottom. And I never did that for commercial purposes. In fact, I've never sold any of mine. I'm like Rick Simpson. He gives it away. It's too priceless to put a price on it. For me, in my mind,
that's the way I feel too. Around here, I have to agree with you. The cannabis market has gone flat. A friend of mine came over and had bought a pound of Humboldt OG, and he paid paid $380 for a pound of cannabis from Northern California. That's incredible. That's so cheap it doesn't
Most
make sense.
Most of it's taxes.
I think it might have been black market cannabis. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, for that price, it probably was.
Most of the cost in commercially produced hemp and cannabis is taxes. You buy it by the smallest amount, it's $9 in taxes. It's kind of like cigarettes.
Exactly. I was just going to say.
Yeah. But yeah, this is really turning out to be a great show. I'm actually wishing that it was on my network.
Because well, I can, you know, use some good content. It doesn't hurt replay. I replay the shows from RBN on the show that I do on Revolution Radio, too. So I think it's fun to cross these network boundaries because people open up to different possibilities. I like all that. I like the fact that we're having a discussion about something that has been made illegal by government. We all question from one side of the coast to the other side of the coast, and we're actually exchanging some pretty good ideas. I appreciate both you guys calling in, Greg and Paul in New York. That's what alternative radio should be. It should be a conversation that's alternative to the narrative that they want us to talk about. They don't want us to hear this. They want us to be talking about the Donbass or some other ridiculous shit that we don't have anything to do with.
Have you had your COVID shot yet? Gold, you got to get your COVID. Don't forget the COVID. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Or don't worry about it. Just grab some hemp paste because the ACE2 receptors, because the nutrients in hemp attach to the ACE2 receptors just like nicotine does. And if you've already got hemp or nicotine attached to those receptors, the COVID bug has nothing to grab onto.
Well, I don't know about that, Paul. It grabbed a hold of me a couple of times, or something did. I don't know. I'm not calling it COVID. It's just I had too much of some poison in me, because a virus means poison if you look it up in a dictionary. And so I had some poison in me. My body had to just throw it off. So I got the chills and the sweats and all that happy horse bucky. And I was doing my ivermectin and my hot toddies. Oh, I love my hot toddies when I get sick. And yahoo, no worries, you know, just get over it. That's what happens when you get a cold or a flu or anything. It's your body's trying to throw it off. It's poison. Look how many ways they're poisoning the planet.
And Greg, every time I had the flu, I thought I was going to die. You know, it's so bad. It hurt so bad. And now they've just weaponized it, just like they've weaponized the weather. Every time everybody has a tornado, it's the worst tornado in history. Every time there's a hurricane, it's the worst hurricane in history. And now, every time there's a flu bug, it's a special weaponized flu bug. You know, why don't people figure it out that we're being propagandized by all of the media, including the weather, the news, the media, the advertisements, everything. It's total full-spectrum propaganda.
Maybe they didn't comprehend the book, The Boy Who Cried Wolf. I mean, that's what the government's been doing to us, and the media, because they're in cahoots. We have to go to the CIA's control and everything, and the Rothschilds control that string. But, it's maniacal, malicious, and stupendously brilliant how they got away with it and kept everybody dumbed down and just dumb, fat, and happy.
Oh, you know, guys, I've been really, really kind of missed here in my performance as host. We've got a couple of other callers calling in now, and I think we should all get Jim in New York and Mike in Kentucky's here, too. I don't know if we can all... Can we all get on the same chat here together, have a round table?
Yeah, hello, guys. I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and, you know, well, of course you know about the legalization. So what happened now, the status is you can possess up to a certain amount, but you can't sell. But there are a lot of places around here already doing it anyhow. They have these little subterfuges, legal subterfuges, like you become a member and you pay for the membership and you get a free gift, you know, different things like that. So you have this one place called Empire Cannabis Club. They've got a couple of locations already, storefronts. And you
got a cannabis club?
It's called the Empire Cannabis Club. They have a website. They're up front with everything. And they're on Allen Street.
Is it
like
a lounge? Is it a lounge or what?
Well, there's one called Street Lawyer Services. That's sort of a more raunchy type of place. it's like hip-hop oriented, but I think they have a lounge. But the other place doesn't. Now, aside from that, it's everywhere now. Like in the past couple of months, it's been proliferate. Like you go to Washington Square Park, where it used to be like, you know, rogue dealers. Now people have card tables out all over the place. Or you go into these little things where they take a parking lot and they have the craft booth all over the time. They've always had them. You go to one booth and they're selling THC, not Delta 8 and not the CBD. And it's like everywhere now. And even you walk in the Times Square area, you have these guys standing like in store and like in the doorways of stores, like acting like they're sort of surreptitious. But the police are right next door, and they just ignore them.
It's been a long process.
You know, yeah, sometimes
this is Mike in Kentucky. I worked with the guy who grew it out in the National Forest in the early 90s, and another guy that went all the way up to, I think, Minneapolis or St. Paul, one of the Twin Cities up there, and he stood on the street just off a campus at a college up there and smoking it in public, trying to get a ticket because it was a misdemeanor, just to have as a souvenir, and they wouldn't give him a ticket. That was 1995, 4, somewhere in there. You know, 27 years ago. So the status is all over the map, all over Kentucky. And I did a 30-minute documentary on it and a couple of local talk shows about it. I'm here in the targeted town of Kim Davis, and we've got that big App Harvest monster, world's largest greenhouse that was rumored to be put in anticipation of medical marijuana being legalized in Kentucky. And like you said earlier, when you're growing it outdoors, cross-pollination is a risk if you're trying to grow a high concentration THC. But one of the things that I never hear, and I haven't heard you mention much, is there is a male and a female plant. If you isolate that female, and sometimes they will go hermaphroditic and produce seed, but when you isolate that female plant, the THC psychedelic oils go up, the level goes up, and you get the more THC. And so if you selectively breed that, even with the industrial hemp, over the course of a few years, you can get the THC level up. And it's my understanding that to make hash, you process the oil and concentrate it. So there's no real difference between hash plant and a pot plant.
Mike, thanks for calling in again. I haven't spoken with you in several years, but we have to take a break right now. This is Captain Fred. This is the Fifth Dimension. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com, or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Folks, this is Captain Fred. This is the Fifth Dimension on RBN. And we are discussing again cannabis. And, you know, my friend last week said that cannabis could be the plant that heals this country. And
no kidding.
I'm thinking maybe he could be right about that.
We could feed the world.
No, it absolutely could.
Absolutely.
Just think about this, the one factor about hemp that nobody hardly talks about much. All of the loblolly pulp pine in South Carolina and Georgia takes 16 years to grow out for pulp for paper, and that's all they get out of it, pretty much. I mean, they might get some pine tubifores or whatever, but it takes 16 years to grow that out for pulp. Just take half of that and plant it in hemp. And make
No. Your numbers are good, but they're not exactly right. 1 acre of hemp growing 2 to 3 crops a year can produce as much paper as 20 acres of trees over a 20-year period.
Right.
It's 1 acre of hemp. But hemp grows so fast. I'm saying, my friend that grew the industrial hemp here in the valley, it grew us in one season. And it was so close together with just 1 pound per acre. At 12 pounds per acre, it's really dense, and it's a wonderful fiber.
That's what provoked me to call in. You were talking about how tall the ditch weed got. That was the male plant. The male plant grows tall and spindly, 19 feet tall sometimes. You can find old pictures of it. Look on the $10 bill. It was actually not a bill. It was a promissory note from 1914 from the Federal Reserve. On the back is a hemp harvest. But notice, everybody talks about the hemp bill. It had, of course, Andrew Jackson on the front instead of on a 20. There's a whole paragraph on the bottom of that bill which details the contract. It is a promissory note redeemable in gold, but only if you go to a Treasury Department window in Washington, D.C. If you go to any Federal Reserve Bank or any other bank, they only had to honor the lawful money, which meant that you could get, you know, 10 silver dollars if they decided they didn't want to give you gold. So you can imagine how the banks took that, boxed by the boxcar loads, they could take it to Washington, D.C. and get their gold, and they robbed the people of their gold using those notes for 20 years. And then we had the crash of 30, or whatever, the banking emergency of 33, where they detached gold from being $20.
Hey, listen, so, Mike, I don't know what plants you were looking at, but the ones I saw, the female plants were probably 14, 15 feet tall, and the colas were 2 or 3 feet long, and they were full of seeds. You know, single
full of flowers,
2 pounds.
Yeah, lots of flowers. They do, I think, the ones that start them indoors early can and selectively breed maybe for a more shrubby, bushy female plant, but you can smell the skunkweed probably 300 or 400 yards away in the cool of the evening when they become ripe. I caught somebody growing it. I caught somebody growing it in a power line right away near my place. And because of this documentary I did in the late 1990s, it's called The Way I See It, Hemp versus Pot. And it was produced by the chairman of the Round County Republican Party here in the targeted town of Kim Davis. Because I did a talk of the town or a type show called Chat Corner, and I had a pot advocate on here that grew indoors on our local TV 10, which has been totally targeted for takedown by the FCC, and we've got a world record fine, by the way. There's certain things you're just not supposed to talk about in America when it comes to the First Amendment. And one of the things that I've constantly had to point out to people is that the female plant is the one with the THC. The plant male hormones of the male plant block the THC from causing psychoactive problems. You could possibly still test positive for it, but the way that you make it work is, and you can make a tea out of it, you have to heat the plant in order to get that, to activate that in the female. You can take the leaves around the female plant, and without the getting the actual flower itself, they have the THC in them. You can brew tea with it and then dry it out and sell it if you wanted to, because it still has THC in it, but you're not going to get, you know, the whacked out munchy,
you know. Hey, you know, Mike, you must have missed the first hour of the show. I mean, we've Paul in New York and Greg in California and I have been discussing processing the paste and the oil. And,
Yeah, I didn't get to hear the first part.
Decarbonating the THC is really important if you want to get high. But, you know, I've been so involved in the conversation, I've missed this note from Sam that James in Vancouver has been holding here. James, I'm sorry, buddy. I've been remiss in my duties here. Add something to our conversation here. I know last time you were talking about the strychnine that would process if we overheated our cannabis.
That was cyanide, not strychnine.
Cyanide.
Yikes.
Yeah. I was wondering, in the last 10 years where you guys are at, have you noticed a reduction in the number of, say, lightning storms in the summertime? Have you noticed a reduction, or are they the same?
I know that lightning.
I concur with that, and a reduction in the life in general on this planet has been reduced.
Lightning.
He's talking about lightning.
Lightning storms.
Lightning has been reduced, but also along with that, life has been reduced. I've noticed less bugs on my windshield and less moss at night.
Right.
I mean,
where you're going with this, James. Where are you going with this?
Well, let me just, where you are, do they do this chemtrail stuff? Do they spray these chemtrails?
Oh, that's one another
more.
Show.
I'll let you know where I'm
Brett
going.
Doesn't do that, James.
Well, I just all have right. a lot so of experience being in the air. And being around people okay. that fly airplanes and being people that have worked for the government flying airplanes in secret missions, and I don't think
right.
that's something that they need to discuss. It would be a perfect tack to keep people arguing about chemtrails rather than arguing about the lingering contrails that are caused by the high bypass jet engine. Right.
There you go.
Okay. Well,
fuel catalyst.
Let me explain what I mean here, okay? If lightning, let's say, I'm talking about the lightning bolts, if they're reduced over a period of time, what you'll have is in one evening, okay, of a thunderstorm, with lightning, what you'll get is about 10,000 tons of nitrate dropped on you. On the area where the lightning storm is, see? That's 10,000 tons of free fertilizer coming from the sky.
From the nitrogen.
What? Nitrogen, yeah. Nitrogen, the atom, okay? It'll be nitrogen dioxide. It'll be, or if there's water, it'll be ammonium nitrate. Now, what you have then is these chemtrails, and I think what the idea is they drop a metallic aluminum oxide, okay, in the atmosphere. What that does is that grounds out the possibility of charges building up high in the sky and then coming down as lightning, you see. So they're shorting out the electric field or electric potential over certain areas, right, thereby cutting down the amount of nitrate that will fall. Well, then, of course, you got to go and buy the nitrate from Hoechst or Monsanto, you see. This is the idea. Sure. Plus, you see, you just don't get, well, like you said, you're not getting the bugs, you're not getting the life. So this is one thing I'm working on right now.
They've been putting metal in fuels.
That's a great topic. That's a great topic for sometime in the future.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I bet you could find that on a website. As far as how many lightning strike, because I was listening to this one guy a long, long time ago, and he said that if there was no lightning striking the planet every day, I think it was like 2,000 strikes a day, that it would turn into a dead planet. It would, all life would.
Yeah. Because
just look up fuel catalysts. That's how they get it. They're not spraying stuff deliberately. The pilots aren't necessarily in on it. They just put the metal catalysts in the fuel since the 70s.
Right. Yeah.
And the military fuel had it first.
Yeah.
Well, barium is commonly used to harden fan blades for high bypass jet engines. If there's anywhere at all, then there'll be barium that'll appear in the atmosphere. Sorry.
Right. Well, okay. Yeah. I just thought I'd run that by you guys, and I'll get back to you next time.
You know what? That's an interesting thing about the nitrogen and the lightning. Just the other day I saw a lightning strike below me here on the valley, and it was only about 200 yards away, and I was curious why it didn't strike my big metal building right here. And it just struck out in the middle of nowhere and started a fire.
Wonderful fresh air.
Yeah.
You get a wonderful fresh air smell, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lightning.
Yeah.
Well, the nitrogen, the molecule that's in the atmosphere is nitrogen, and that's a nitrogen triple bond nitrogen. So it takes a hell of a lot of energy to break that chemical triple bond, but you get that in a lightning strike. You got 1,000,000 volts with 1,000,000 amps, so you got enough energy to break it.
Negative ions.
You just want to break it. The triple bond in the nitrogen molecule. You want to break that, and then it reacts with oxygen, or it'll react with water, and right away, and then it just falls.
All the information you want to find on weather modification, though, in this topic is on that. I think it's weathermodificationhistory.com. And there's a bunch of that stuff's been declassified, and people don't, still don't want to believe it. I think they can steer hurricanes and all that. And speaking of the hemp, you know, they can mess with agriculture futures. Did you ever see that movie Trading Places with Eddie Murphy? I think
Eddie Murphy
was it.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah. What did they do? They tried to manipulate the orange juice futures market. You can imagine if you could steer a hurricane and do that sort of thing, you and know where you're going to send it. You can play with them ag future market and make off tons of money off the books. Yeah.
You know, Mike, it would be easier to convince people that you could modify the weather than it would be to actually modify the weather, wouldn't it?
No, they had to admit to some mistakes. Like, they steered a hurricane back in, I think, the 50s and caused it to make a left turn, kind of like that Superstorm Sandy did. And that's all been declassified. But the reason the insurance industry and stuff would go along with it, if you know about Hurricane Florence, just look at Hurricane Florence. It was, and the reason it struck me and I paid so much attention to it, it was projected to hit above Category 5, and it was headed straight for Kentucky across North Carolina. Well, the last two nights before it made landfall, the barometric pressure continued to drop, but the wind speed didn't go up, which is the opposite of what happens. And it steered to the left and went into South Carolina and lost, instead of $24 billion worth of damage and taking out one or two nuclear steam plants a la Fukushima, it only did $2 billion worth of damage, and it took a big loop through South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and finally, you know, came into Kentucky. The remnants of it did. But then the insurance industry wouldn't say a dang thing about that. They saved them $20 billion by steering that hurricane.
Well, you know, back in the Dark Ages, the clergy with the churches used to convince people that they could control the eclipses of the sun, and they used that as a power control, too. I mean, you know, if we could convince people that we do have control over these things, I think that that's a lot easier than actually doing it. And I think
the books. There's companies that advertise it, and they drop the rain out of the atmosphere on the winter wheat crop in North Dakota. And they have to have some good old boy agreement, because that violates a treaty to drop the moisture that would go into Canada. You're not allowed to affect the weather in another country. So they have probably a good old boy agreement there that says they get pick of the fair market price of the winter wheat crop if they need it in Canada from North Dakota. North Dakota's agricultural bank has so much money, they've been playing around with modifying the weather for their agricultural interests for probably 25 years or longer. You can find the pictures of the planes, but those are spray planes. What the guy's talking about with the chemtrails, I believe, is fuel catalysts. And that's not nothing the pilot controls. You know, that's what's in the fuel. You know, and if the airline companies can save 9%, something like that, 7 to 9% on their fuel economy, they're going to go along with it. They ain't going to say nothing.
Well, but Mike, George, the high bypass fan jet engine, 60% of the thrust comes around that engine from those barium coated fans that are on the outside. Now, these engines are so good at burning their fuel that it doesn't leave any soot behind it. I mean, they're perfect clouds.
But they make really good larger crystals that take longer to evaporate.
Right.
You know, around 30 to 35,000 feet, they linger longer.
Right. So a cloud changes weather, right?
Mm-hmm. It can.
You know, MIT did a study on this a few years ago, and they said that the traffic from the high bypass jet engine was probably causing more clouds in the areas where there were a concentration of air traffic. But it refused.
NBC did a report on it in 1980. There's a report you can find.
Mike, they refused to blame that. But if I were a globalist power that was dependent on the high bypass jet engine to maintain my transportation around the world, I don't know that I'd want people wanting to shut that down because it was causing lingering clouds. I think I'd rather have everybody arguing about chemtrails.
Well, NBC did a report on it, and they interviewed this reporter at the very end, talked about how Nobody's trying to make clouds with jet engines, but it could happen in the future. Well, how the heck would he know? They try to convince everybody that it's a conspiracy theory in 1980, 40 years ago. And that was after the Jimmy Carter energy crisis, where they were experimenting and patenting fuel catalysts, which would go into the jet fuel, which included things like aluminum and, cesium they used in the SR-71, and that backfired literally because they were trying to reduce its radar signature. And that made it worse. You know, it made it more easy to spot on the radar because it's a freaking metal. But you can take a lighter to steel wool pad and set it on fire. You learn that in Boy Scouts. Metal burns. And so if when you add that to a jet fuel, you're going to get more fuel efficiency if you're doing it right. So that's been, and you can find a patents on these fuel catalysts since the 70s during the energy, so-called energy crisis. But, the fuel was changed during desert, what was that dang thing that he called Enduring Freedom? George W. Bush called it Operation Enduring Freedom. Operation Enduring Freedom allowed all commercial jets to burn military fuel. The environmentalists had a fit because George W. Bush was going to put these mothballed military bases put refineries on there because the military operations were causing a bottleneck in the supply. And so he issued an executive order that allowed all the commercial jets to burn military fuel in 2006. I don't know when that was exactly, but that made it so much easier to get these fuel catalysts all around the world. The cost problem.
I've got a couple of questions. Yeah. I've got a couple of questions. At least one of them is rhetorical. first of all, isn't it possible that both things are true? They are spraying chemicals in the sky, and there are some plane and jet engine configurations that are causing lingering chemtrails. It's possible that both situations could be true. And yep. The second question, which I guess is also rhetorical, how can a jet that has three engines, one on each wing and one in the tail, be leaving four contrails from the wings, two from each one? How can that happen? I'm just saying.
There's still a lot of four-engine planes up there. That not just 747.
Yeah, but go to Geoengineering Watch. Dane Whittington does a very compelling work on, very extensive work on the jets. He shows them in action and the nozzles. And it was James who said, why couldn't both be true? Well, because both are true, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But
I think that's what they did with Hurricane Florence, you know. CIA has its own fleet of planes, and who knows who else.
Alex Jones had a colonel or somebody on that was in weather modification during the Vietnam War, and he stated that he could, or that they could change a class one into a class two, or fizzle it out, or they could dump it one stage up one way or down the other.
Operation Popeye.
And that was back in the 70s.
Yeah, that was Operation Popeye, I think. A lot of that's been declassified, too, because after 25 years or something, they have to review that to be declassified. So there's a lot of stuff that's been declassified. Nobody, reporters don't talk about it.
Except for the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, they keep that under. We still can't get all that. Even Trump ordered that.
This is what happens when you start using marijuana. You start talking about one thing.
You
and
start
then you
thinking about stuff.
Right.
No, we can't have that. No.
Well, and the excuse that I've always heard about using marijuana is that people get lazy and you can't get any work out of them. So that was for decades. And, of course, when I was growing up, it was something that mainly only black people did. And they edited that out of Back to the Future. If you remember Chuck Berry's cousin, Marvin, there's a scene where they're all in their car smoking dope.
Oh, yeah.
And that's totally edited. You can't hardly find that scene.
But they stuffed Marty McFly in the trunk, I think, and the bullies do, and those guys all jump out, and the smoke is rolling out of the car. It's racist, you know, to depict that, and that goes right back to Reefer Madness, where the guy, you know, the guy takes a toke, and his face turns all dark and evil, and he starts chasing after women like he's going to rape them. I mean, it's the same. I don't use pot at all. I just studied it, and I've worked with people that grow it themselves, and I'm like curious enough to investigate, you know, what their methods are. This one guy would grow it up like, I forget what he said, 18 or 24 inches once he could determine the sex of the plant, fold it over in a backpack, and ride out and plant four plants in a plot. Where he knew where they were at, you know, in clear cuts and the national forest and stuff, and he had a connection at a barbershop or beauty shop, and he'd get all this human hair and put on them, and he'd go out every so often and pee on them, but he'd only plant four in a plot, because back then in the 90s, if you had more than four plants, it was a felony, so he would never get caught with more than four plants when he, you know, was out. But that's, I don't see how, if it was anywhere close to a hiking trail, once it got ripe, anybody that knows what that smells like, I'm a cyclist.
Oh, yeah.
So I ride around and I smell it all the time growing out here in rural eastern Kentucky. I also smell a lot of mold in eastern Kentucky, too. So there's,
well, I live in the middle of a valley where there must be 400 greenhouse grow operations. And when the wind is right, man, you can certainly understand who's growing the skunk weed around here. Man.
Once it's really, it gets Fred, ready.
Yeah. What valley is that, Fred?
The San Luis Valley in Colorado. It's known as the Alien Highway area. This is where the cattle mutilations happen and kinds of strangeness goes on here. But it's beautiful place.
Southern Colorado, then.
What's that?
Down in southern Colorado.
Oh, yeah. We're just I can see New Mexico from my house.
I heard that was the giant sloths that did the cattle mutilation.
Who knows for sure, but that's going to be another topic for another show. You know, sometimes when you talk about marijuana, you get into some wonderful conversations, and I appreciate Mike, Jim in New York, James Vancouver, and Paul in New York, and Greg in California for calling in. What a wonderful discussion we had today. Until next week, this is Captain Fred, Fifth Dimension. We'll be back. Nature, everybody wants to rule the world. It's my own design. It's my own remorse. Help me to decide. Help me make the most. Nothing ever lasts forever. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.